By this weekend, we're going to have about 500 of these little invite cards. Small little cards, just a basic little message on them. And actually, they're supposed to be arriving tomorrow. And so if you would be by the church and want to get some of these, just a very small, like business card size, that you can just hand to someone to invite them to church. And invitations are important. They are important. And you've heard me, and I don't want to belabor this because I've told it so many times, but I have a special affection in my heart for someone who took the time to invite, first of all, my mother to go to church. She was a little girl, 8 years old, and a Sunday school teacher knocked on the door, invited her to go to the Assembly of God church that was about 2 or 3 blocks away, and she went. That was the beginning of the seed sown that stirred up an interest in her heart for spiritual things. And so what a far-reaching effect that you just never know the possibilities if you are willing to step in and give an invitation to someone to come to the house of the Lord. And I was looking in the Gospels at a couple of invitations that Jesus himself gave. And we're going to look here in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. We sang at the beginning of the service about this invitation. Well, let's read it here in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the invitation of the Lord. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Now, this is an invite from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this invitation that he gives is when he says he's going to give rest, it's clearly described here that the rest that's needed is a spiritual rest. It's not just a physical rest. It's a spiritual weariness that he is coming to bring an answer to. A spiritual weariness. And that's why he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, the reason that Jesus has given this kind of an invitation, and you can just, let's just think for a minute or two here about the possibilities of who these people were. This is a people that the load is heavy upon them, and they can't be relieved of this load. They're weighed down by it. They are weary, they are weak, and they're heavy laden. They're burdened down. So there's a weariness that's upon them. And really, this can have application to several different kinds of people. First of all, it can have an application to people who are just religious. And really, primarily, that's who Jesus was talking about. He's talking to people who were religious. They were Jews, and they had all of this ceremony and all of this ritual, and they have the law and all of these things, but they were wearing themselves out. Literally, there was a weariness in their soul. That's the reason Jesus said, you'll find rest for your soul. There is a weariness in their soul because there was no way that they could be free from this burden. Not only was this the law of Moses, Mosaic law, but this was also the additional laws that were tagged on. I'm sure you've heard of the Talmud, and the Talmud is just Jewish
traditional law that's added on to the Mosaic law. And it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of additional laws or applications of laws. And so they were so weighed down with religion. And it was so heavy upon them. They couldn't do anything about it. And so Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. So first he's talking to a religious crowd that they could not be at peace. It was impossible for them to find peace because it was all man-made thing. Had no spiritual reality to it. It was religion, but no relationship at all. Amen. So we don't talk about religion in that sense. Well, I don't have any problem with calling what we have religion, old-time religion, or however you, I don't have any problem with that, except if it's in the context of trying to do things and trying to earn your way to God and not being able to have any peace in all the effort that you're putting forth. Amen. And so that was the first category. Another category are just sinners. Sinners. Jesus saying, come to me. You're weary. You're heavy laden. You are burdened down with your sins. The Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. I have seen people who live sinful lives, hard sinful lives, and very young as far as their actual age. But it was obvious that their life had been a hard life. And they looked, even physically, they looked older than they were because of the hard life that they have been living. Because they've been living under that harsh taskmaster, the enemy of their soul. And so Jesus is not just speaking to religious people. He's also talking to sinners who are living the hard life of sin. Let me tell you, it's a horrible thing to live under guilt and to have no hope and not know where to turn or how to solve the problem of the burden that you are under. Let me tell you, sin, it bears consequence. And so when you live out your life, living in sin, you're going to have to face consequences in eternity, but you'll also face consequences in this life. If you live against the will of God and you're living your life in sin, that you'll bear consequence even in this life. And so, sinners, Jesus was saying to them, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. And you can be relieved of your guilt. You know, somebody can tell you that what you're doing is okay all day long. But if your heart, if your spirit's not convinced, then you're still going to bear the guilt. The guilt's going to be there. It's a function of the spirit. You're going to bear the guilt of it. It doesn't matter how many times that society says it's okay to do that. It's okay to live that way. That's an acceptable thing. Don't worry about that. Many are wanting even to do away with consequence and do away with sin. But the scripture is clear that if you serve the enemy, Satan, then you're going to bear the consequences. And you're going to live a life under the burden of that guilt. And that's another group of people that Jesus is speaking to and telling them, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring. You're trying. And you're heavy laden. I'm the source of your rest. I'm the one that can give you rest for your soul. And so he was inviting the religious crowd and he was inviting the sinners. But you know that he was also, I believe he was even inviting believers, Christians. Come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know the Bible gives a lot of different accounts of the fact that Christian people, you know, contrary to what some would say, the Christian experience is not always easy, is it? We do have difficult times. We do go through things. Yea, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so, you do have times when there's severe things that you go through and trouble that you go through. And sometimes you're just under the attack of the enemy. You feel pressure. You feel tempted. And all these things are working on you. And the enemy is working on you to destroy you. The Apostle Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which we came to in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of our life. Now that's the Apostle Paul. We always envision him as this mighty man who's accomplishing so much for the Lord, but he said, I want you to remember that in Asia I had so much trouble that I thought I was going to die. I was under such intensity of problems and pressures, I didn't think I was going to be able to come out of it. The pressure, so I was pressed out of measure. It was more than I could bear. It was more than I could deal with. That was the kind of experience that I had. Paul also talked about some things he experienced in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He was describing that sometimes in the life of a Christian, you do have trouble. You do have pressures and problems and experiences. And that's why Jesus says, even to the believer, come to me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you're under a burden. You're carrying a load. Every Christian has this. Every Christian experiences it. We all go through times when we're heavy laden. Some people, you can't even tell it. I mean, their expression, they're so good at disguising what's going on in their life. Other people, as soon as you see them, you know, uh-oh, they're in trouble. They're facing problems. And it's obvious that they're under a heavy load of pressure. But Jesus, His invitation are to the, this invitation is to the weary. To the weary. To those who are religious and can't find peace. And those who are lost in their sin. They're facing the trouble and the consequence of their sin. And even the believers who have trouble in the, and pressures and circumstances working against them on a daily basis. And they also receive this invitation. Now these are just three that I'll mention, but let me tell you, whenever you invite someone to the house of God, there's no way possible that you could ever know what is going on in their life. You could never know what's going on in their family or in their finances or with their children. You could never, it's impossible for you to know, but just be sure of this, that if they don't know the Lord, that whenever you as a believer, whenever you step into their life, that God can so arrange it that you can break into that cycle of trouble and worry and problems, and you can break into that and you can give them a word of hope and say, why don't you come? Why don't you come to the Lord? Why don't you come to where the saints of God are and see if you can't receive help in the situation that you find yourself in. Amen. You know that as a believer, you can, the Bible encourages to cast our cares upon the Lord. To give it to Him. To give it to Him. He's the only source of rest and peace. Psalm 55 verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. That's a great verse, isn't it? He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You may feel like you're under pressure. I forget who I was talking to the other day about, I believe, I'm not sure if it was Herman or some of the brothers. We were talking about someone having back trouble and that they had literally had a rib out of place. I don't know if it was
it Jonathan or somebody. But years ago, when we were out pastoring in Oklahoma, there was a couple of situations, you know, that things just happened. And I was under a tremendous amount of strain and pressure and trying to give it to the Lord and trying to make it through this crisis time. And I woke up one morning and my back, it was like I was being stabbed in the back. And I could not figure what was going on. And I do remember thinking, okay, Lord, this too now, huh? Okay. This is, I'm going to go through a little physical pain too in this. I went I think it was a chiropractor, and he said, well, here's the problem. Muscles in your back, they're so under pressure and they're so under such a strain that it's literally pulled these ribs out of place. I had no idea that that could happen to you. But I'll tell you what, it hurt. It wasn't pleasant. But I also know this, no matter what you go through in your life, what the trouble, what the problem is, what the burden is, He is not going to suffer you to be moved. Amen. Isaiah 32 verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Now, it looks like a real contradiction when you read the next verse in Matthew 11. After the invitation comes, then in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. He had just said, if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. But now he says, take my yoke upon you. And we know that a yoke was an instrument of work and labor. A yoke was used for pulling. And for plowing. But, so why would he, in giving you rest, tell you to take my yoke upon you? See, you're never gonna, there is no discharge from this war. As long as you serve the Lord, you're gonna have to be pressing on. Amen. So whenever he describes rest, this is not physical rest. This is rest for your soul. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And literally what he was saying was, get in the yoke with me. Amen. Animal, the purpose of a yoke was to yoke two animals together so that you would be able to have the strength of them pulling together to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. And so when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, he was saying, get in the yoke with me. Get in the yoke with me. And then he says, learn of me. Or watch me. Be with me. Be close to me. And when I step, you step. And when I pull, you pull. And learn of me. Here's the place of rest. What a wonderful spiritual lesson it is for us to find rest in our souls. Amen. Get in the yoke with the Lord. And learn of him. Let him teach you. I know it seems like a contradiction, but he says, learn of me, learn of me. Get in the yoke with me. One of the problems of yoking animals together, especially the Bible warned about yoking different animals together in the same yoke, because they would pull differently and they would probably fight with one another. And they would pull against each other. They would not be able to accomplish the work at all that they needed to. The yoke of them, they would be pulling it and struggling together and not accomplishing it. And a lot of people are doing that. They even have gotten in the yoke with the Lord, but they still have not learned of him. So they're pulling against him, pulling this way, pulling that way. And you wonder why. Why is it that I'm having all these struggles and all these problems? And why am I so miserable? It's because you're trying to pull on your own. You may be in the yoke, but you need to learn of him. Learn of him. Get in the yoke with him and learn to pull with him. Learn to step when he steps. Learn to walk when he walks. Learn how to pull together at the same time. And literally what happens is that Jesus is saying, if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. If you'll just get in the yoke with me, then we will be able to pull and accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You know, I get weary with people saying, you know, that, you know, you don't have to have any guidelines, and you don't need laws, and you don't need the rules and things of that sort. You absolutely do. You do. You need to have the guideline. And of course, the guideline is not a man-made thing. It's the Word of God. Amen. Let me read you verses in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Amen. Talk about the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Amen. When you get in the yoke of the Lord, then the commandments of the Lord are not going to be something that are done to hurt you. He's meek and lowly at heart. He's not pulling against you. You're pulling against Him. Align your will with the Lord. Quit resisting the plan of God for your life. Quit bucking up against what God has already done in your life. Don't resist the things that you know concerning the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God. Whenever you pull against the yoke, then you're going to find problems and weariness and frustration in your life. You're not going to be able to have any peace or any assurance that you're really moving in the will of God. The only way that you can do that is yoke up with the Lord and learn of Him. Learn of Him through prayer. Learn of Him through times in the Word of God. Learn of Him as you listen to the teaching and the preaching and the ministry of the Word of God, and allow the Lord to teach you and to help you to stay in the yoke and to cooperate with God. Amen. His commandments are not grievous. It's not a big load. He's meek and lowly. He's not going to throw something on you that you cannot bear. No, He's going to empower you to do His will. That's really what the grace of God is. God giving you the power to do His will. And if you get in the yoke with Him and cooperate with Him, then you're going to be able to be what the Lord would have you to be. Praise God. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. There's a burden there, but it's light because you've just got in line with the Lord. And you're pulling together, and you've learned of the Lord. And so now the burden that you have, it hardly even feels like a burden anymore. Because you're linked up with Jesus. Amen. And His burden is light. His yoke is easy. There's still work to do. We still have to press on and continue to do what the Lord is asking us to do. But it's so much easier when you just cooperate with the will of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the first group of people are the folks that are weary for whatever reason. Religious, the sinners, and even the believers who are weary. But then the second classification we want to look at here, of those that Christ invites. These are only two tonight. There are others. But is found in John 7. And there's the weary we've been talking about. Now we talk just a few more minutes about the thirsty. The thirsty. The weary, He invites. The thirsty, He invites. John 7:37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Praise God. Amen. There are so many people that God brings into our life that are spiritually thirsty. They're longing. There's a desire in their heart. Now, they don't really know for sure what it is that they want, but it's just obvious that they are spiritually thirsty. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful prospect they are for the kingdom of God.
Those kind of people are so close. They're not far at all. They're so close to the kingdom. Because they're already longing. They're already thirsting. Desiring to have peace. And desiring to know the Lord. Or desiring something that they don't even know for certain what it is. But there's just this longing in their heart. And the Lord put that in there. And they're thirsty. And Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. And I will satisfy your thirst. In John 4, he met with, which really, John chapter 4 is the greatest chapter in the Bible related to evangelism, especially personal evangelism. Tremendous examples of Christ bringing this woman to that place that she could drink of the water that would and she would never ever thirst again. John 4:13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What Jesus will do to find the thirsty, to find that person that is thirsting after the things of God, and they just have an emptiness in their life and a longing in their life, and they're thirsting for the Lord and for the things of the Lord. And this woman that Jesus must needs go through Samaria to get to her at the well, and to break all the rules, really, as far as breaking through all the barriers of certainly never talking to this woman in public. Yet she was thirsty. And he was going to satisfy that thirst in her heart. Amen. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You will come in contact with those kind of people that are thirsty. All those years ago when we were in Oklahoma, we did the first year or so, we did soul winning and knocked on doors on Sunday morning because we had an afternoon service. And we did this for months, maybe a full year, I can't remember, but we would go out in the community and knock on doors. And most of the time, the majority of the time, it was people that would say, you know, they have an excuse or whatever, and we would not, it didn't feel like you were getting anywhere. But I remember one day that we knocked on a door, and a lady came to the door, and we started talking to her and talked to her about the Lord, talking to her about coming to church. And we hadn't spoken just a few minutes until tears already were flowing down her face. Just flowing down her face. She was thirsty. And it was arranged by God that morning. For that lady, Jeannie Livingston was her name. Jeannie came to church that very day. And I don't remember at what time in the service, maybe it was at the altar at the end. But Jeannie came to the altar and she wept and she cried and she got born again. Praise God. You talk about exciting now. It makes up for all those dozens of other doors where people said, not interested, or we don't really need what you have. All the different things it would say. That night, her husband, it was so interesting because her name was Jeannie. Her husband's name was Gene. Spelled with a G, the man's name. And her name was Jeannie with a J. That night, Gene got saved. Praise God. Here's this little couple, and they got born again in the church. Don't know anything about the Lord, but hungry for God. Learning, and it was 3 months from that day that I got the call from Gene Livingston. And he said, I haven't been feeling very well. Went to the doctor today, and they've been running tests on me, and I've got cancer. He was 33 years old. Gene Livingston was the first funeral that I preached out there, because it was just a few months later that the church people, little group that we had there, they gathered around that little family and they ministered to them and they helped them. And Gene Livingston went to heaven. Praise God. He went to heaven. And it was because of an invite. It was because just a little effort. So
for those of you that know Roger Shepherd, it was Roger and myself who went to her door that day. And Roger was after them. I'm telling you, from that day on, he was constantly there ministering to that little family and helping them and encouraging them throughout that whole experience. It was not even a year after they got saved that Gene went to heaven. Let me tell you, there are thirsty people out there. Some of them live next to you. Some of them live in your neighborhood. Some of them you work with them. You do business with them. Wherever they might be, they're thirsty. And you may think they're not really interested in what I have to say, but God will give you, if you will be used of the Lord, God will give you an opportunity to talk to a thirsty heart. Amen. Glory to God. Let's get out of our own little world that we live in and our own little routine and the life that we have from day to day. And let's make an investment in some thirsty people. Amen. Over these next few days and few weeks, this is a great month to do it. Easter month, it's a great opportunity. Let's talk to some people. Let's invite some people. Let's be used of the Lord. As I said, we're going to have these little invite cards available for you. They're supposed to come in tomorrow. Come by and pick them up, or we'll have them available Sunday morning for you. And I don't want you to just take two or three of them. I want you to take several. I got 500 of them. So take all you want. All you'll use. Take 10 or 15 or 20 of them. And put them in your pocket. Put them in your purse. And when you're filling up the gas tank and there's another person on the opposite side filling up their gas tank, reach around there and say, hey, every day there's opportunities. Every day. Every day. God gives to us opportunities to invite people. The weary and the thirsty. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to be a part of this. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to use us. And I just pray, Lord, for each one in this service tonight. God, that you would empower us of the Spirit and use us to make an impact in the lives of people. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. No doubt there's a Gene Livingston out there who may just have a few months in this world. Lord, there are people out there in such need. They are weary and they are thirsty. And I ask you, Lord, use us to have an impact upon their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know, Sunday school teachers understand that when those children, those young people, when they come into your classroom, that they're not going to hear, when they go home, all they're going to hear about is video games and cartoons and everything else that the world is spitting out there. In Sunday school, they need to hear a message of hope from the Word of God. Amen. That's what they need. They need to hear from you, from the Lord. My mother told me that she would go home from that Sunday school class. She must have had a Holy Ghost-filled Sunday school teacher as a little girl. She said, I would go home from that Sunday school class and I would lay in my bed at night and I would cry over the things that I heard in that class. Wow. She said, I was afraid I wouldn't be right and ready to meet the Lord. That Sunday school lesson, it stirred her heart. Let me tell you, we have some real opportunities to make an eternal impact on the lives of people. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's just take a moment and just thank God for the opportunities that He gives to us to be used of Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in the church, in the body of Christ, there is a work to be done. Lord, and for the weary that are here tonight, I ask you, Lord, help us just to get in step with you. Lord, to yoke up with you and to not pull against
the yoke, but Lord, to understand that you're meek and lowly at heart. Lord, you can give us peace and rest in our soul if we'll just cooperate with your will and your purpose. Lord, I pray for the weary, and I pray for the thirsty, Lord, that are within our reach. Lord, that they would not be forsaken or forgotten, but Lord, that you would use us, Lord, to reach out to them in their need, we pray. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord.